Hello and welcome back to the Politics Unboxed podcast. My name is Rhys and today it is time to talk about the second shock by-election of 2021. It is Chesham and Amersham, which has been won by the Liberal Democrats. A smashing victory, which has really, well, taken a chunk out of the Tory blue wall. We saw the Conservatives breaking down part of Labour's red wall, but now the Liberal Democrats have taken the first steps into weakening Conservative heartlands, which will be, you would suggest, their way back. It doesn't look like they'll be competing with Labour too much in traditional Labour territory. That's not really where the Liberal Democrats do strongest. And also with Keir Starmer bringing the party more to the centre, that battle seems to be going Labour's way. But in traditionally conservative seats, like this one, a historically safe Tory seat, they might have a chance. So let's have a look at what happened in this election, this by-election, and what it might mean for British politics on this episode of the Politics Unboxed podcast. So, yes, overnight, the count for the Chesham and Amersham by-election has come in, and in a result which is a shock to many, but maybe not to Liberal Democrats who were in Chesham and Amersham and around the area, the Liberal Democrats have won. And this is not a small victory, it's not a couple of hundred votes. They have a majority in the seat, or their MP, the new MP, Sarah Green, has a majority of 8,028 votes. She won 21,517 votes, and who was the? I think it was Paul or Simon Fleet for the Conservatives had 13,489 votes. So that is a big majority, and it is even more surprising when you consider two things. Firstly, this constituency was created in 1974 for the first of the two elections in that year, because there were two elections held in a very short time, 1974. And since then, it has always been Conservative. It's only ever had two MPs before this election, both of them Conservative, the last one being Dame Cheryl Gillan, who very sadly passed away earlier this year, causing this by-election. But it's always been Conservative. This is one of the heartlands of the Conservative Party, Buckinghamshire. The Conservatives absolutely swept the new Unitary Authority Council that was created this year up on the 6th of May, 7th of May. Those local council elections, they won about 115 of 140-odd seats. So Buckinghamshire, very true blue, dyed in the wool. But this by-election has now gone to the Liberal Democrats, so a brick in that blue wall going gold. The second thing I want to say is that in 2019, the most recent general election in Chesham and Amersham, Dame Cheryl Gillan was returned as the Member of Parliament with a majority of 16,220. Now, the Liberal Democrats have just won this seat with a majority of 8,028, which means that the overall swing was from a majority of over 16,000 to now a deficit for the Conservatives of over 8,000. The swing was 24,251 votes. Now, that is big. Ed Davey, the leader of the Liberal Democrats, tweeted that the result had sent a shockwave through British politics, saying if the Liberal Democrats can beat the Tories here, we can beat them anywhere, saying that the blue wall can be smashed by the Liberal Democrats. And that seems to be how he is going to be pitching the Liberal Democrats, as a voice for people who might not want to support the Conservative Party anymore, but can't bring themselves to vote for the Labour Party. And of course, Liberal Democrats are not the Labour Party. There are political differences, but many people will see them as On the left, see them as Tory light, and on the right, see them as a watered-down Labour. That is one of the problems with being in the middle of the road. I think it's a famous Margaret Thatcher quote. Don't walk down the middle of the road, because then you can get hit by cars from both sides. And that has been a problem, a long-standing problem with the Liberal Democrats. They do tend to get picked off from both angles of attack. But now, with this victory, maybe there is a chance of a fight back and a bit of a resurgence. Although, of course, before I go into a bit of political speculation, we do have to remember that in 2019, the Brecon and Radnorshire by-election was won by the Liberal Democrats. That was the last by-election before the 2019 general election, back when Jo Swinson was the new leader of the Liberal Democrats. She was on a bit of a roll, a wing, or rather coming second in the European Parliament elections and doing quite well in the local elections of 2019. And, well, in the 2019 general election, from, I think, a total of about 20 seats by the end of the Parliament, because of defections and by-elections and whatever, the Liberal Democrats lost about half of their representation in Parliament. So the Liberal Democrats have had false dawns before, especially with leaders who reek of the unpopular austerity policies enacted by the Tory-Lib Dem coalition from 2010 to 2015. But this is a very different political world to 2019. Something happened in between 2019 and 2021, and I can't put my finger on what it might have been. But the political world is very different, and maybe now people are more receptive to the Liberal Democrats' message. Certainly in Chesham and Amersham, they are, because they've returned Sarah Green as their Member of Parliament. Now, one thing I will say as a bit of a caveat on this. In 2019, the turnout in this seat was 76%. In this by-election, the turnout was lower. It was 52%. Now, that is very good for a by-election. It's 10% higher than the Hartlepool by-election, which apparently had, well, in fact, which did have very good turnout for a by-election. And that was aided because it was on other election days as well. There was a mayoral election and local council elections. So this is good turnout for a by-election, but also there are enough votes in the people who voted last time but did not vote this time to overturn that majority. So the majority is 8,028. The gap between the number of people who turned out to vote in 2019 and the number of people who turned out to vote in 2021 is 17,000, or just under. Just under 18,000, sort of 17,969. So there are a lot of votes not cast, and there are enough votes not cast to put the Conservative Party back up to about the numbers where they were at in 2019, around the 30,000 vote mark. And that would appear to concord about with where we are seeing the votes go, because the Liberal Democrats went up by roughly 8,000 votes from last time, sort of 7,000 votes from last time. They took about 6,000 votes from the Labour Party and about maybe 2,000 votes from the Green Party, both of whose vote share went down dramatically. Could that be tactical voting? Could that just be low turnout? Certainly from the Labour Party side, it looks like tactical voting, because you don't go from 7,000 votes to about 600 votes in 2 years, unless you're thinking about unseating the Conservatives. And I think that's a very strong motivation for the Labour Party. They do not want to see more Conservative wins, or at least Conservative holds. But also, if we say that there are about 18,000 votes left in that turnout from where we were in 2019 to now, in order for the Tories to get back up to where they were, that implies that all of them will now go back to the Conservative Party. And that probably won't happen. Yes, this election is special. It's a by-election. It's a by-election in a time where the Labour Party look weakened, very much so, and the Liberal Democrats look like the only real choice in Chesham and Amersham to unseat the Conservatives, and indeed, they have. But where will those votes go for the next general election, or if we have another by-election in Chesham and Amersham before that? And that will come down to how Sarah Green acts as an MP. Now, she has pledged to be an independent and strong voice for all those in Chesham and Amersham. And that's rather what you would expect her to do. She clearly understands that her victory may well be a one-off in the blue wall, but it is also reliant on probably several thousand, maybe several hundred, several thousand Conservative defections, plenty of Labour voters and Green voters probably switching their support to the Liberal Democrats, in order to get her over the line. And indeed, she did get over the line quite handsomely with that majority of over 8,000. So what does this really mean going forward? Well, if you ask Ed Davey, it means that the Liberal Democrats are back as a force to eat away at the Conservative votes in their heartland, sort of like the Reform Party, the party now known as Reform UK, as was the Brexit Party, certainly like what they did to the Labour Party in 2019. But the problem with comparisons between the Liberal Democrats and the party formerly known as the Brexit Party is that in 2019, the Brexit Party won zero seats. And I mean, whilst we don't expect the Liberal Democrats to be wiped out, I'm not sure how much headway is going to be gained. This is, after all, just the one brick being taken out of the blue wall. It's not like the Tories up in the north of England, where they'd already essentially sent a wrecking ball through the red wall, and now they're just sort of picking up the last remaining bits of rubble, or so it seems. Of course, the picture is more complex than that. But as a first win in the blue wall goes, really, a first shock win for quite a while in the blue wall, certainly for the Liberal Democrats, it is not a bad place to start. This was a very strong Conservative seat, a very popular incumbent, of course, with Dame Cheryl Gillan no longer being on the ballot. Perhaps that has changed some of the minds of people in the constituency away from the Conservative Party. Maybe she had a very, very strong personal vote. It's probable that she did. But either way, this is still a very, very good result for the Liberal Democrats, and a very, very bad result for the Conservative Party. I mean, to go from, they had over double, both in votes and percentage share, the vote of the second place party, who were the Liberal Democrats, back in 2019, and now they have, 8,000 votes fewer, and they're more than 15% behind. I think they're about 20-25% behind on vote share for the Liberal Democrats. So that's quite a big swing, and you might expect the next general election to be a Liberal Democrat win in this seat. Although that will, of course, depend on how well Sarah Green does going forwards. If she can keep those Labour Green, that left-wing coalition of voters who've pushed her past the Conservative Party together, whilst still keeping some of those Conservative members and voters who had to have voted for her in order to get her across the line, really, on side as well. How will she be able to play both sides of the field, or rather, how well will she be able to play both sides? It is going to be difficult, but it is going to be interesting to watch. Whether or not she can stand up well enough for her constituents, that will remain to be seen. As a member of a party with, I think around 10 seats, the Liberal Democrats, she's not going to have too strong of a voice, but they now have 12 seats, I believe. But she is going to be a loud voice, I can imagine. Very few Liberal Democrats in Parliament have the spare time to be quiet. But this is, again, the Liberal Democrats will be very, very happy. Very happy indeed with this result. And quite right. Let's just go down all of the candidates, all the parties, and go through their votes and percentages before I wrap up this podcast. So let's go in reverse order. So unfortunately, the wooden spoon in this by-election goes to the Rejoin EU party and Brendan Donnelly, who got 101 votes and 0.3% of the vote. The Freedom Alliance came in second last with 134 votes, 0.4% of the vote. That's Adrian Oliver. The Breakthrough Party and Carla Gregory, 197 votes and 0.5%. And now we're into the recognised parties. The top five, if you will. Reform UK and Alex Wilson, 414 votes, 1.1%. They didn't stand here in 2019, of course, because it was a Conservative-held seat, and the Reform Party, as was the Brexit Party, made that pact not to stand in any Conservative-held seats, which possibly handed the Tories the election. Labour came in fourth place, Natasha Pantelich getting 622 votes, 1.6%, a phenomenal drop of 11.2%, which just goes to show that plenty of votes did go the way of the Liberal Democrats in that tactical voting sense. Green Party and Caroline Culver won 1,480 votes and 3.9% of the vote, down 1.6%. Peter Fleet for the Conservatives, 13,489 votes, 35.5% of the vote, down 19.9%. And the winners with 21,517 votes, 56.7%, and up a staggering 30.4% in vote change. Sarah Green and the Liberal Democrats. So that is all we have for today on the Politics Unboxed podcast. But good news, you're going to get a second podcast today, either today or early on Saturday as a sort of a weekend treat, because I'm going to be talking about Edwin Poot, the leader, or rather, should I say now, the former leader of the DUP, because he is gone. So we're going to talk more about that on a different podcast. Don't fear, I have not missed it out. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. If you have enjoyed today's podcast, please do give us a rating wherever you get these podcasts, and any feedback is more than appreciated. You can get in touch by contacting us on Instagram, which is @politics.unboxed. On Twitter, we are @politicsu, that's the letter U. And on Facebook, search for Politics Unboxed. Beg your pardon. If you want to get in touch via email, you can go to politics.unboxed@outlook.com, and our website is www.politicsunboxedpodcast.wordpress.com, where you can find all things Politics Unboxed. That's podcasts, blogs, and any other announcements that I will make over that platform. But as we wrap up this podcast, all that remains for me to say is thank you very much for listening. I do hope to see you all around again soon for the next episode, and until then, goodbye.